We're holding on. Okay. We're holding on Chof Amud Bey's top line. We're talking about Kiddush HaChodesh Al Pi Ra'iyah and about Edim coming and about the rules of when we determine what's a Chodesh Mole and what's a Chodesh Choser and so forth. So the Gemara says, Amar Shmuel, Yachilna L'Sakuni L'Kulei Goyla. Shmuel says, I would be able to establish the calendar for the entire Goyla, meaning the entire, all the Jewish people of Bavel and surrounding areas, because I'm an expert in the movements of the sun and the moon and whatever. And therefore, he'd know how to calculate these things even without needing aid. He says about him, Shmuel actually says about himself in Masech de Brachas, he says on himself that the paths of the sky are as familiar to me as the paths of Nahadah, which is the city where he lived. So he's an expert on these things, so therefore he'd be able to determine it even without aid. Now, what good would that do exactly? The fact is we do need the based in to be Mekadosh the Chodesh. There's a couple of different explanations that we've shown him give. Among them are that we're saying that he would be able to establish, and actually until they find out otherwise from the based in Eretz Yisrael, they would be entitled to follow their calendar. And there's even a possibility that some of the Rishonim say, the Ritva brings a couple of possibilities over here. One of them, and Tosfos also discusses it on the next Amud, on Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, that maybe even if they calculated that it's supposed to be, the moon should be visible at a certain time, and they established Yom Tovim on that basis, even if people came before Yom Kippur and told them that in fact it's not like that, but it's a day later, they might not be obligated to keep that. They might be able to say, well, you know what, we made our calculation, it's a valid calculation. Afterwards, yeah, we're gonna have to adjust things to match Eretz Yisrael so we don't drift out of sync with them. But at least one possibility is again that what Shmuel is saying, Yachil and Sakuni Lakola Goyla, would accomplish therefore that maybe it would accomplish that then at least it means that they might not have to keep 2 days Yom Tov. They might be able to keep only 1 day at least until they find out otherwise from the Shluchim who come from the Beis Din in Eretz Yisrael. So that would be, and there are different other possibilities that the Foshim talk about. Maybe at least they do have to try as much as possible that their calculations should match the ones in Eretz Yisrael, but if they're a little bit off, then fine. Tosfos discusses later, just like we're going to learn in the next parak, Atam Afilu Shogegin, that even if the Beis Din in Eretz Yisrael, the one that is actually the Kaddish, the Chodesh for the entire Jewish people, if they make a mistake, let's say, for example, they had their facts wrong and they calculated that the moon would be visible when in fact it's not, doesn't matter, we still have to listen to what they determine, because the Torah gives them that ability. So Tosfos discusses, and some other Rishonim discuss the possibility that maybe even to a certain extent that applies to the Batei Dinim and Chutz La'aretz as well, if they have the expertise like Shmuel does. So Amalei Abba Avodah Reb Simloi L'Shmuel. So Abba, the father of Reb Simloi, says to Shmuel, you're saying that you could establish the calendar for the entire Goyla, that in other words, we'll be able to figure out things on our own, pending what we find from the Beis Din in Eretz Yisrael. But Yoda Mar Hai Milsa D'Tanya B'Soda Iber, do you, Rebbe, are you, Shmuel, familiar with the following statement that it says in Soda Iber? Soda Iber is a brisa that it talks about details of Iber, details of Kiddush HaChodesh. It's called Soid because it's written in cryptic language, so it's like secret. There's also an idea Marsha talks about in some places, other Mephoshim talk about that there's Ramazim in it, Api Kabbalah, about the future of the Jewish people, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, so do you know the explanation of the following statement, or do you even know the statement that it says in Soda Ibru? The Braisa says, Nolad Kodim Chatzos, if the Molad of the conjunction of the new moon is before Chatzos, or whether it was after Chatzos. So that's all it says in this braisa. In other words, that there's a difference between whether the Molad is before or after Chatzos. Are you familiar with that? Or do you know what the difference is? So Shmuel says, no, I don't know. So Abba Avur, the Rebbe Simloi tells him, well, in that case, what do you mean you could establish for the whole Gola? Mi deha lo yodamar, given that you don't know the reason for this, it may very well be that there are other details that you don't know either. So don't think that you can make calculations which the entire Gola can rely on, because you see, for example, that there's this particular detail which apparently you're not familiar with, or at least you don't know how to explain. So what does it mean? We're going to talk about soon. What this means. So Ki Solik Reb Zera, when Reb Zera came up from Eretz Yisrael, when Reb Zera went up from Bavel and moved to Eretz Yisrael, and he learned things about Kiddush HaChodesh over there. Shalach Lahu, so he sent a message to his chaverim back in Bavel, telling them a couple of things that he learned there in Eretz Yisrael. Number one, Tzorech Sheyehei Raiv of a Yom Min HaChodesh. It has to be that the night and the day are all part of the new month. So there's another possibility, maybe not Min HaChodesh, but maybe Min HaChodesh, from the new one. In other words, so Rashi learns that what it means is that like this, you have, there's the old moon at the end of the month is visible, and eventually it disappears. Then you have the moon is invisible for a certain period of time, which we're going to talk about soon in the Gemara, how long that is. Then you have eventually there's the conjunction when the moon and then the sun, moon, and earth are in a straight line, and that's when the moon is completely invisible. Then gradually whether this moon moves relative to the sun. Eventually you can see the crescent of it, the new crescent. Reb Zera is telling us that you can't have that the old moon was still visible on the night after the 29th of the month. If you do that, well, if it is, then you cannot declare that 30th day Rosh Chodesh. In other words, you shouldn't think. Now Rashi points out, the Gemara is going to tell us soon that the moon is invisible for 24 hours anyway. So if you saw the old moon on the night following the 29th, of course it's not going to be. Of course the new moon is not going to be visible anytime during the day on the 30th. So of course you can't. Possibly be Mekadosh the Chodesh on that day. Rashi says the point is we learned yesterday about the concept of ma'aymin. We said that there are times when we can force the edim to testify about what they saw. Where we said there can be a case where we said that where we said that even if the moon wasn't visible on the night after the 29th, we can sometimes pressure them into, depending on certain circumstances, which we talked about, in order to make the Yom Tovim fall on the correct days of the week, we're able to pressure them into saying that they saw the moon on that night, even though they didn't. So Reb Zera is telling us that works only if the old moon was not still visible on the night after the 29th. But if it was visible at that time, then we cannot be ma'ayim on those edim, because then it's an obvious falsehood to say that the new moon was on the 29th, on the night after the 29th, or on the 30th, when everybody still saw the old moon on the 29th. Bichlal, I mean, usually the old moon is not visible at night anyway. Most of the time, the old moon is going to be visible only in the morning, because what happens is the old moon is slightly ahead of the sun, and then the new moon is slightly behind. The old moon rises slightly before sunrise, and it sets, and the new moon after the new moon, when it's visible again, sets some a little bit after sunset. So most of the time, you're not going to see it in the evening anyway, and there's nothing to talk about, but there can be certain rare cases where you can conceivably see the old moon in the evening. So we're saying if that happens, then you cannot make that a 29-day month, even if it would have been one of those cases where we would have liked to, in order to make the Yom Tovim come out on the right day. And Reb Zera continues, V'zur sha'omar Abba avur Reb Simloi. This explains that statement from Soida Iber, which Abba, the father of Reb Simloi, had said to Shmuel, and which Shmuel didn't know how to explain, that Mechashvin is told, where the Braisa just said, Nolad Kodim Chatzois or Acha Chatzois, and Shmuel said, I don't understand what the distinction is. Now, Reb Zera says, based on what I just learned, Sarach Shehei Laila V'yemin HaChodesh, now we can understand that. It means Mechashvin is told us, so we calculate when did the Molad take place. Nolad Kodim Chatzois, if the Molad was before Chatzois, then we know that it will be visible before Shkia. But if the Molad is not before Chatzos, then we know it will be impossible to see it before Shkia. Because so Rashi learns, in other words, that what it is the minimum amount of time that you ever need between, even on the, that you ever need between the Moilad and the first visibility of the new moon is at least 6 hours. Now, astronomically, that's hard to understand because usually you need a good deal more time than that. In fact, that's one of the problems that Tosfos and a number of the Rishonim have with Rashi is that he's saying that you can have a situation where the moon is visible just 6 hours after the Moilad. How is that possible? It's too small and it's too close to the sun at that point. So there's an explanation to find for Rashi. There's nowadays in the Art Scroll Gemara, they bring in the footnotes over there. They bring from somebody named Reb Nissim. Well, first of all, they bring in the back of the Gemara. You have a commentary called Ben Arya, written by the father of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, that discusses this and the various other astronomical things that we're going to discuss in the Gemara over here. There's also some writings on this. There's a fellow nowadays named Professor Nissim Vidal, a well-known astronomer. Where he wrote on different details about the astronomy of Chazal, and so he talks about this Gemara also. So one possibility is, in other words, that generally we would say you need more than that. You need the Balaam. We're going to talk about the Balaam Moor, learns our Gemara soon to say that the moon is invisible for 24 hours after the Moilad. But nevertheless, it actually might hold that under the most ideal circumstances, if you know exactly where to look and if you have exceptionally sharp vision and the air is very clear, et cetera, then you might just, the absolute minimum that you'd ever be able to see it after the Moilad would be 6 hours. So therefore, that was the rule that was established, therefore, that if the Moilad is after Chatzos, then it's impossible to see it before Shkia. But if it was before Chatzos, then you just barely could. L'may nafkamina, so what's the practical difference? Most of the time, you're not going to see it after 6 hours anyway. Amar Rav Ashi, like Fushi Sadi. So Rav Ashi says, that's the point. We can use that to contradict witnesses. If the Moilad was after Chatzos, and witnesses come and say that they saw it that evening, we know automatically that they're lying because there's no possible way, even under the most ideal conditions, that they could possibly have seen it. So we do actually have a rule built into our, nowadays we don't do Kiddush HaChodesh Al Pi Yeriya, of course, we do Al Pi Cheshbon, but we have such a rule built into our calendar, not with all the months, but only with Tishrei, that if the Moilad of Tishrei takes place after noon, which in terms of Kiddush HaChodesh, we call it 18 hours because we count the hours from 6 p.m. of the day before. So, for example, now with Shabbos Mevorchim, they announced the Moilad and Shul was 12:55 a.m. and whatever Chalakim. In terms of calculating the Moiladus, that would be called Friday 6 hours. And 6 hours and 6 hours and 55 minutes from 6 p.m. of Thursday night. Anyway, the point is, we call it Moilad Zokin, an old Moilad. And we also call it Yud Ches, because 18 hours of the day. And the rule is, if the Moilad is after 18 hours of the day, then we postpone Rosh Hashanah to the next day. So for example, if the Moilad comes out, let's say, you anyway have the rule Loyadu Rosh, but if the Moilad comes out, for example, on Monday afternoon, then we're going to push off Rosh Hashanah to Tuesday. And if it comes out, let's say on Tuesday afternoon, that it's going to be pushed to Wednesday and can't because Loyadu Rosh, so then it gets pushed to Thursday. But that rule is based on our Gemara over here about Noled Kodim Chatzos, Noled La'acha Chatzos. In fact, there are many explanations. Again, it's a little hard to say that the moon should actually be visible within just barely 6 hours after the Moilad. It really is too small and too close to the sun at that point. In fact, one of the many explanations of that is that the Gemara over here is not referring to the... Now, you have to realize, when we talk about the Moilad, the conjunction of the sun and the moon, there's two ways of calculating it. There's what's called the Moilad HaAmiti, which is the actual true astronomical moment when they're in a line. And then you have the Moilad HaMitzayi, which is an approximation of that, which is what, in our fixed calendar nowadays, we use that approximation. We don't use the exact motions of the sun and the moon. That's much more complicated. The Rambam spends several chapters in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh describing the details of all that calculation. But we use an approximation where we say that each month is exactly the same length: 29 days, 12 hours, 44 minutes, and one chela. So one possibility is our Gemara is referring to the Moilad HaMitzayi. given the correction factors that the Rambam describes over there in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, you could just barely have that if the Moilad, you could have that if the Moilad HaEmtsoi, the average Moilad, is just before Chatzos, it's possible for the true Moilad to have been earlier, to have been about 14 hours earlier or so, such that the moon would just barely be visible that evening. And therefore, that's a reason to establish that rule.
One question. When you say Chatzos, you mean Chatzos Hayom, I presume.
Chatzos Hayom, we're talking about, right.
Right. So why do you say Chatzos Hayom when the world was created at night?
What does one have to do with the other? We're talking about when the moon is
visible. I mean, one has to do
it relative to when
the world was created at night.
Okay, first of all, the
day is from night to night.
The Erev Vayivoker, so which things were created at night, which things were created by day, is not so simple. But in any case, actually, we're going to talk about soon what the Baal HaMor talks about. He has a whole different understanding of our Gemara, and that will fit better with what you're asking about the creation of the world. So hold that thought, and we'll get to that in a couple of minutes. But right now, according to Rashi, and according to Tosfos, and according to many Rishonim, we're just talking about, we're not talking about how things were when Hashem created the world. We're talking about the practicalities nowadays. What is there when the Moilad is relative to when the moon is visible? We have to look at when the moon is actually visible, and then and calculate accordingly. So let's go on, and then we'll talk about in a minute. We'll talk about
again
how this relates to
day,
the creation
one
of the world,
second,
according to the Baal HaMor.
One second. If you're saying that a day starts from night and finishes at night, so we should wait a whole day before we see the moon, and that should be seeing the moon at night the next day.
Okay, the new moon is visible either right before Shkia or right after Shkia. Under very favorable circumstances, you might see it before sunset. Most of the time, you're going to see it after sunset. The Rambam describes, for example, that you're going to have, you have about a 20-minute window after sunset, and after that, the moon itself is going to set also. That's the way Hashem created the world. The new moon is visible, only at that time, because the new moon, what it is you have to think of it like this. When the actual Moilad occurs, it means the sun and the moon are in a straight line of east to west. It means, in other words, that the moon and sun, let's say, for example, if the Moilad took place exactly at Shkia, it would mean the moon and the sun and the moon are going to be setting at the same exact time. They'll usually be the moon will usually be a few degrees north or south of the sun. That's why you don't have an eclipse. But nevertheless, they'll still be in the same east-west line. Then, as the moon moves faster, the moon has a proper motion of its own, faster than the sun. Therefore, they move apart about 12 degrees every day, which equals about 50 minutes. So the next day, the moon is going to set 50 minutes later than the sun. The next day, 50 minutes after that, so an hour and 40 minutes after Shkia, and so on and so forth, until by the middle of the month, they're in opposition, and you have the moon is rising when the sun is setting, and vice versa, and then during the rest of the month, they get closer and closer. So what happens is, therefore, at the beginning of the month, now since you have, again, there has to be a certain amount of time after the Moilad, after conjunction, before you can see the moon. So let's say, for example, that you have, let's say you had only the 6 hours that we're talking about in the Gemara. In 6 hours, the distance between them is going to amount to approximately 3 degrees. So what will happen is, in other words, so the sun will set, and then very shortly after that, the moon will set as well. It's only 3 degrees higher in the sky. So we're saying 3 degrees apart is not really enough to be able to see it, we would think. But maybe under the most favorable conditions, maybe the Chachamim had a Kabbalah that it would, under certain ideal conditions, it might be possible to do that. Or again, we might be talking about average versus true Moilad, et cetera, et cetera. But the point is, that's how it is. The new moon is visible either under very favorable conditions shortly before Shkia, or most of the time after Shkia, within a few minutes after Shkia, before it sets as well. But that's just how it is. So again, Reb Zera was telling us in the Gemara, according to Rashi's explanation, that if the old moon was still visible on the night of the 29th, then you cannot declare Rosh Chodesh the following day, the 30th. And he says that fits with this rule about Kodem Chatzos, Ma'acha Chatzos, because if the Moilad was before Chatzos, it could just barely be possible to see the moon that evening. But if the Moilad was after Chatzos, it will be absolutely impossible to see the moon that evening, even under the most favorable conditions, because they're just going to be too close together, the sun and the moon, and therefore the light of the sun is going to wash out the moon. So let's go on. And again, you're asking about Briyas HaOlam, so we'll get back to that point in a minute when we explain the Baal HaMoreh's Shita. So Amar Rav Zeira, Amar Rav Nachman, Chof Dalad Shoy Michsi Sihara. The moon is invisible for 24 hours. There's a certain period of time before and after the Moilad when the moon is invisible. How is that 24 hours distributed? Lididan, for us who live in Babel, which is east of Eretz Yisrael, Shisme Atika Batamri Sire Michadta. That amounts to six and the last 6 hours of the old moon and the first 18 hours of the new moon. So Rashi explains what it is like this. At Babel being east of Eretz Yisrael, and what happens is Rashi explains that the old moon is in the southeast corner and the new moon is in the southwest corner. So therefore, when the moon becomes invisible, when it's in the east, when it's on the east side of the sky, then it's only the last 6 hours of it during which it's invisible. Up until that point, Bnei Mizrach, the people in the east, meaning Bnei Babel, are able to see it. But on the other hand, the new moon, since it's in the west, it's further away from them, and therefore it takes 18 hours till they can see it. Lididhu, and for them, in Eretz Yisrael, it's the other way around. Eretz Yisrael, being west of Babel, Shis Mechadetar B'tamni Sremi Atika, 6 hours of the new moon, and 18 hours of the old moon. Now, again, Rashi's explanation is a little hard to follow because, I mean, the actual difference in Eretz Yisrael is not that far west of Babel. In modern times, when they have time zones, then Babel is one hour different than Eretz Yisrael in time zones. In actual solar time, it's even less than that. So how would there be so much of a difference? And so that's one question. Another question is that Rashi is saying the new moon is always in the southwest, and the old moon is always in the southeast. Astronomically, that's not correct. Different times during the year, it's going to be in different places. So there's a lot of questions on Rashi's explanation. Besides which, Tosfos has some other explanations on. Tosfos has some other questions on Rashi as well. If we're going to learn soon from a pasuk some of these details, then why would the pasuk care only about the Jews of Eretz Yisrael and not the Jews above? So Tosfos actually has a different explanation. That Tosfos explains b'chlal with the statements that we said so far. It's Sarach Shehei Laila V'Yom Min HaChodesh means that the Moilad, unlike what Rashi had said, it means that the old moon can't be visible on the night after the 29th. But otherwise, as long as it was invisible then fine. We could conceivably make Rosh Chodesh the 30th. Tosfos learns, no, what it would mean is the Moilad actually has to be sometime before the evening, so that the night and the day all belong to the following new month. However, Tosfos points out, the fact is we don't seem to do that. We don't have that rule built into our calendar. Also, Tosfos says another possibility that it means that if the Moilad is by day before Chatzos, and basically declares that day, the 30th day Rosh Chodesh, then it means it's retroactive to the night before. We don't say that it starts in the middle of the day. But anyway, to answer Rashi, so again, there's a part of the explanation that's in this Hagois Ben Aryeh in the back of the Gemara, and again, more details from this Professor Vidal, is that what we're talking about is, suppose you have the Moilad is right before Chatzos, so like a few minutes before Chatzos, you could have then, so now, Bavel being east of Eretz Yisrael, what happens is there, relative to the Moilad, the sun sets sooner, because of course they're east, and the sun sets sooner in the east than it does in the west. So therefore, what happens is, by the time the sun sets by them, it's less than 6 hours since the Moilad. If, let's say, you have, in other words, if the Moilad was, let's say, 10 minutes before Chatzos, Eretz Yisrael time, so it would be Bavel time, Bavel solar time, it would be about 20 minutes after Chatzos. So therefore, by the time it comes Shkia, by them, 6 hours later, there's not enough time to be able to see the new moon, even under the best conditions. Therefore, so what happens? When do they first see the moon? The first possibility they even have of seeing it is the next morning, which is 18 hours late, which is 18 hours since the Moilad, and that's what the Gemara is expressing with this idea about 18 versus 6. Whereas in Eretz Yisrael, the idea would be, since the Moilad was for them a few minutes before Chatzos, then therefore they will just barely be able to see it before Shkia. So in that sense, there's only 6 hours of the new moon that's hidden, because from Chatzos, and from just before Chatzos until Shkia is just about 6 hours. That's the gist of the explanation. There's a lot more complication to that. If you want, you can look in the Ort Svor Gemara. They have a much longer presentation of that whole explanation. Anyway, So again, l'may nafkamina, why is that relevant? Again, the reason is to be able to refute witnesses. If witnesses come, for example, and say that we saw the old moon and the new moon within 24 hours of each other, then we know they're lying because that's impossible, because we're saying it's hidden for at least 24 hours total. Now, the Baal HaMor has a whole different explanation of this entire piece of Gemara. So we've had three statements over here. Number one, Kodim Chatzos and La'acha Chatzos. Number two, about Laila Vayomina Chodesh, that has to be the night and the day belong to the new month, which we have Rashi's and Tosfos' different explanations of that. And then we have the third statement about the 24 hours and how it's divided 18 versus 6. The Baal HaMor has a whole different explanation of these three statements, and he explains like this. The gist of the underlying basis of his explanation is, first of all, a couple of things. When the Gemara mentions over here the Didan, meaning for us, it doesn't just mean Bavel, which is about a half hour or 40 minutes east of Eretz Yisrael, it includes all the way until Eastern China. Because he says there were times when that could be called the Didan for us, because there were times when the Persian Empire was powerful enough and encompassed all the way until there. So that is 6 hours east of Yerushalayim. Then he has a long explanation that we're going to bring psukim, we're going to bring a psukim about this, that the Torah wants, that the Torah doesn't, that we don't care that it should be that on the day of the Molad, the moon necessarily has to be visible in Eretz Yisrael in order to declare that day of Rosh Chodesh. But it has to be that at least someplace in the world, it should be that the moon was visible on the day of Rosh Chodesh in order for us to establish that day as Rosh Chodesh. So he explains our Gemara as explaining where the international date line is. He explains that, and it's actually the basis of the explanation is not original to the Baal HaMor. It's actually, you find a somewhat similar explanation, although not tied to our Gemara, in the Kuzari. He seems to be the first Rishon who brings up this whole point about the international dateline, and he also explains 6 hours east of Yerushalayim. So yeah, it can be related to the fact that Hashem began creating the world, when Hashem began creating the world, and when we say, so the sun rose on the morning of the fourth day after Hashem had created it the night before, and we can talk about that spot then would be 6 hours east of Yerushalayim is where it's rising, and therefore, in other words, it comes, so at that point, it's still, so it's rising at that point, that point is called Tzei HaMizrach, the edge of the east, and then by the time it reaches, by the time it's Chatzos over there, by the time it's noon over there, it's 6 a.m. in Yerushalayim, and then the sun is beginning to rise there. So anyway, the gist of his explanation then is that what we're saying is, so you have so when we consider the dateline, you have to have some point on the globe where a day shifts, because otherwise you're going to keep on going further east and you're going backwards an hour. Eventually you're going to wrap around. So there has to be some point where instead you gain a day or lose a day. So he says that point is 6 hours east of Yerushalayim. In other words, therefore, the latest that any place begins, let's say, for example, Yom Tov begins at a Yom Tov or Shabbos or whatever begins at a certain time in Yerushalayim, the very latest place in the world where it begin is a place 18 hours to the west of that, namely off the coast of China. So what we say is anything between Eretz Yisrael and China is considered to be earlier than Eretz Yisrael. Anything from Eretz Yisrael in the direction westward is considered later than Eretz Yisrael. Now, of course, they didn't know of America at that time, as far as they knew. Once you get past Spain and the United Kingdom, then you've got all the way water all the way until the other side of the globe, as far as they knew. So in all that space, then all of that is later and later than Yerushalayim. Eventually, you get to the point. You keep on going westward. You go across Europe, across the Atlantic, across the Americas, which they didn't know of at the time, across the Pacific. You wind up off the coast of China, and at that point, you are 18 hours earlier than Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, in other words, the idea is that if the Molad was before Chatzos in Eretz Yisrael, before 12 p.m. in Eretz Yisrael, then it means at that point off the coast of China, it will have been just before 6 p.m. of the previous day. Therefore, you'll have 24 hours. He learns our Gemara to be saying that the moon is invisible, not for total 24 hours, like Rashi says, but rather the old moon is invisible for 24 and the new moon also for 24. So therefore, what you wind up is, since the new moon took place just before 6 p.m. of, let's say, of Erev Rosh Hashanah, then it means before the end of Rosh Hashanah, at that point off the coast of China, then at that point, they'll be able to see the moon just before the end of Rosh Hashanah over there. And therefore, that's good enough for us to declare that day Rosh Hashanah in Eretz Yisrael. And so he explains everything in our Gemara on that basis. So that became a famous machlokes. Do we accept his opinion as far as the dateline? Famously, the Chazon Ish held that we do. Therefore, you have when various yeshivas, the Mir Yeshiva and the Lubavitcher Yeshiva and others had to escape to Japan early in World War II. That they were now China then is on most of China at least is on our side of the dateline. But Japan being islands off the coast, according to that, it would be past it. So the Chazon Ish said, okay, now you're not going to say. Now there's a sefer on astronomy called Yesod Olam that was written by a Talmud of the Rosh. He points out a problem with the Baal HaMor's explanation. Namely, the Baal HaMor is making it a straight line about 125 degrees east of Greenwich, which is 90 degrees east of Yerushalayim, that runs through land masses. So what are you going to have? On one side of the street, it's Shabbos, and on the other side, it's Friday. It can't be. So the Chazon Ish says, okay, maybe the Baal HaMor would say that it curves with the coastline. So you would say, for example, you look further north of that, you have a little bit of China, you have a little bit of Korea, you have parts of Siberia, whatever that stick out east of that. Fine, those also Australia when you go further south. So fine, all of those, once one side of them is on the dateline, then the whole thing of them is considered within the dateline. But islands off them would have a different rule. So therefore, according to the Chazon Ish, it comes out that Japan would be on the opposite side of the dateline from Eretz Yisrael. So famously, when the yeshivas were there and they wrote to him and various other Gedolei Yisrael of that time, the Chazon Ish told them they have to consider their Yom Kippur to be one day later than that in Eretz Yisrael. So it became a whole machlokas. There was his opinion. You have another opinion from Yechiel Michel Tukachinsky, who holds that the dateline is 180 degrees east of Yerushalayim. And you have different opinions on the subject. There's a sefer on the topic called Kava Tarich Bahalocha, which lists like over a dozen different opinions on the subject of what is considered the dateline la halacha. There's even, interestingly, there's an opinion of Rabbi Yaakov Emdin, who says there is no dateline in halacha. He says you keep on going until you find a place where Jews are settled, and then you keep the same Shabbos as they do. So according to him, I guess the first Jews who come to a place establish Shabbos based on you continue counting 24 times 7 from the last place where you were. So according to him, there is no such thing as a dateline at all. But according to many other poskim, we're saying there is. But where that dateline is it off the coast of China? Is it, like Rabbi Yechiel Michel would say, 180 degrees east of Yerushalayim, which then would place it, it would be cutting through Alaska and most of the Pacific. One particular thing is, according to that, it would come out that Alaska and Hawaii would be on the other side of the dateline than us. It would mean that what they consider Friday is really Shabbos. So you have many different opinions about it, and you have many different opinions what to do Lamaisa. In practice, most Jews in those places follow the locally assumed dateline, which is the international dateline, and therefore they just go according to that. There are some poskim who say that maybe in those places, maybe in these places where there's a suffix, such as Hawaii, maybe at least on the day that might instead be Shabbos, maybe you should at least not be doing Melachas Daraisa. When the yeshivas were there in Japan, so they had the question about Yom Kippur. So I think the Chazon Ish actually told them that maybe there were some people who actually fasted 2 days, which we're going to talk about in the Gemara soon, about whether you have to do that or not. I was reading where there was some bacharim from the Lubavitcher Yeshiva who were there, where they didn't necessarily hold of what the Chazon Ish holds, but still some of them would actually on their Shabbos afternoon they'd put on tefillin to be on the safe side in case it really is Sunday. Because at least to put on tefillin on Shabbos is not so much of an infraction. Okay. Anyway, so that's how the Baal HaMor. So you see then that you were asking Avraham Moshe before about how this relates to Hashem creating the world. So according to the Kuzari and the Baal HaMor, it does in fact relate to that. Whereas according to Rashi and Tosfos' explanation, it has nothing to do with the dateline and nothing to do with creation, just with the practicalities of when the moon is visible. All right, let's go on. Omamar. We said in the Braisa, we said the night and the day have to belong to the new month, which again, according to Rashi, it means that the old moon cannot have been visible on the night of the 29th. According to Tosfos, it would mean that the molad has to take place before the beginning of the night. And according to the Baal HaMor, it would be this whole thing about that someplace in the world, so the moon is visible, the moon is visible that night. So Menalon, where do we know that from? Rabbi Yechanan says, because the Pasuk describes Yom Kippur, and it says, Me'erev ad erev, from evening until evening. So therefore, so you see, that the evening already has to belong to the new month. Rish Lakish, Omar, Rish Lakish quotes from a different pasuk where it says about Shvi Yishol Pesach, Ad Yom HaEchad V'Estrim LaChodesh Ba'Arev, that you have to keep Pesach until the evening following the 21st. So again, you see that the evening, that the Yom Tov ends in the evening. So we see again that HaYom HaHoylech Achra HaLaila, we see that the day follows the night, and therefore the night has to belong to the new month. So the Gemara says, "My benai, what's the practical difference between those two explanations, between those two psukim, between bringing it from the two psukim?" Abaya says, "No real difference. Mashmos doshin ikke benai, it's only enough to mean what pasuk to learn it from. There's no real practical difference between their opinions." Rava Amar Chatzos Laila ikke benai. Rava, on the other hand, says, "Enough to mean between them would be." What if the molad was before or after Chatzos Laila? Till now we were talking about Chatzos of day. But after all, for example, if we're learning from Pesach, then when we're learning from Pesach, so what you have is from Chatzos of the first night of Pesach until the end of Pesach, then you have eating matzah is no longer a mitzvah. It's only a mitzvah until Chatzos of the first night. So if you learned it from a pasuk having to do with Pesach, then you would say that even if the old moon was visible at the beginning of the night, as long as it was before Chatzos, then that's fine, and we can still declare Rosh Chodesh to be that day, and Pesach will be 2 weeks later, and so forth. Whereas if we learn it from the Erev Ad Erev, then no, it means from the beginning of the evening, so then the cutoff point is the beginning of the evening, is Shkia, rather than Chatzos. Okay. Continuing on this topic, Amar Rav Zera, Amar Rav Nachman, Kol Sfeik, whenever we have a suffix, what day is Yom Tov, we always go to the next day. Meaning, so what do? We see, for example, when we have 2 days of Pesach and Chutz La'aretz, they're not the 14th and the 15th, they're the 15th and the 16th. And the reason is, in other words, so what are we saying? The question is whether we always have to ask, and nowadays we don't have to ask because we have a fixed calendar, but minigab seinim yadenu, was Adar 29 days or was it 30 days? Was Elul 29 days or was it 30? So if Adar was 29 days, for example, then it means that Pesach, the first day of Pesach, is the 44th day from the beginning of Adar. If it was 30 days, then it's the 45th. So we count it then, we count Adar as being 29 days. And we say the 2 days of Yom Tov are the 15th and the 16th of Nisan. We don't have to worry about that. It might be, as the Gemara is going to say, that it might be that Shvat was also a Chodesh Choser, and therefore that we actually have to keep the 14th as well. We don't have to do that. So which means, Lememra, which means to say, the Chamesa v'shitzar abdinan, abesa lay abdinan. Meaning that, for example, when it comes to Pesach or Sukkos, we keep the 15th and the 16th. We don't have to worry about the 14th. So the question is, why not? What happens, for example, if both Av and Elul were Chadoshim Chaserim, and then you're going to have, so let's calculate, if Av is 29 days and Elul is 29 days, that so far is 58, then Sukkot is supposed to be the 15th of Tishrei. So that would bring us to 73, but maybe therefore we have to be concerned. What if Av and Elul were both Male, and then we're gonna have to keep the 14th as well, to be on the safe side. And the answer is no, you don't have to worry about that. Trei Yarchi Chaseri Kola Islahu, when there are two Chadashim Chaserim in a row, then the people know about it. So Rashi explains, in other words, let's say, for example, Tevis is always, the usual rule is that Tevis is going to be 29 days. So therefore, if Shvat was also 29 days, they would already know about it. There would be a koil. It would become a very famous thing long before Pesach. And therefore, they don't have to worry about it. Even when Shluchei based in Nisan don't come in time, so therefore, if we didn't hear such a koil, then we can assume that Tevis was Chaser and Shvat was Malay, as it usually is. And therefore, we only have to worry about whether Adar was Chaser. And therefore, we only have a one day margin of error. We don't have a 2 day margin of error. So we don't have to keep the 15th and the 16th. We don't have to worry about the 14th as well, in case Shvat was Chaser, because if it was, we would have heard about it. The Gemara continues. Levi ikra leBavel b'chadsar b'tishrei. Levi one time came to Bavel on the 11th of Tishrei, or what they considered locally was the 11th of Tishrei. Omar, and he said, Bosim tavshtila de Bavloi b'yom rabba de ma'arav. The cooked dishes, the food of the people of Bavel is very delicious on what really is Yom Rabba, Yom Kippur, in the West, meaning in Eretz Yisrael. What happened in that year was the Beis Din in Eretz Yisrael had declared Elul to be 30 days long. Therefore, again, counting from the beginning of Elul, Yom Kippur was going to be the 40th day, counting from the beginning of Elul. Instead, in Bavel, they assumed that Elul was Chaser, as it usually is. So therefore, they were going to keep Yom Kippur on the 39th. And therefore, the 40th for them is already the day after Yom Kippur. So therefore, in other words, he's telling them, you're eating very comfortably, you're enjoying your food, but it's Yom Kippur in Eretz Yisrael. Amri lei, so they said to him, Asid, in that case, say Eidos for us, say official Eidos that they were Makadosh the Chodesh, that they made a 30-day month, and then we'll accept on ourselves not to eat today either. Amalahu, and he answers them, Moshamai to me, be based in Mekodesh. I did not hear based in actually declaring the word Mekodesh. We're going to talk about on Amud Beis that most months, once the Edim know when Rosh Chodesh is going to be, let's say Edim did not come on the 30th, and therefore automatically we know the 31st is Rosh Chodesh, then the Shluchim are able to leave even that evening to start informing everybody. But Nisan and Tishrei, they actually have to stay there until they hear the word Mekodesh. So Levi is saying, I didn't actually hear the word Mekodesh, so therefore I can't give you official Edus that it's Yom Kippur today. Now, what does that mean? First of all, Tosfos says, if it was Yom Kippur for him, then how is he allowed to travel to them on that day, which he knew was Yom Kippur? So one possibility, Tosfos says, is that it means he was within the Tchum, or what it means is that he was traveling on what the Bnei Bava were keeping on Yom Kippur. For him, it was Erev Yom Kippur, because he came from Eretz Yisrael. So now they're saying that. If you give Eidos, then fine, we'll have to keep a second day Yom Kippur back to back with the first one. And he tells them, I didn't hear Mekodesh. So one possibility is Tosfos. So here's where Tosfos says, given that we have the dispensation that based in Kimim Kaddish, Atma Filo Shogim, Atma Filo Mizidim, etc., that also applies in this case. Even though we're talking about the Bnei Bavel, that because they were basing themselves on their calculation, therefore they're entitled to continue following their calculation and not have to have a second day Yom Tov, even though he's telling them now that in fact it is Yom Kippur in Eretz Yisrael, they're not required to follow that, which is a machlokas we're showing him about the ins and outs of that. Does that mean that if he had informed them before Yom Kippur, they would be required to follow it? Is it maybe that even if he informed them before Yom Kippur, they wouldn't be required to? Is it maybe only precisely because he didn't hear Mekodesh, but if he did, then in fact they would be required to follow him no matter what? So a few different opinions about that.
So when someone travels east from Israel, and he leaves Yom Kippur, which day is he supposed to keep? The one in Israel or the one local?
That's what I'm saying. Levi himself was keeping the one in Eretz Yisrael because he knew that day he didn't actually hear them saying Mekodesh, but he knew for a fact that it has to be Rosh Hashanah was the 31st because there's no other alternative. There's no more than a 30-day month. So therefore, he himself is keeping Yom Kippur as they do it in Eretz Yisrael. But he comes to Bavel, and he's telling them the facts. You should know this is how it is in Eretz Yisrael, but they're not required to, based on the different considerations that we said, they're not required to follow him and actually keep a second day of Yom Kippur. They'd already kept one day of Yom Kippur, according to their calculations, on the assumption that Elul was 29 days. They're not required now to keep a 30th as well.
So what's the halacha?
To keep a second day Yom Kippur as well.
What's the halacha? I'm in Yerushalayim, Erev Yom Kippur, and I travel to Bavel, let's say.
Doesn't
what's
matter. You know when Yom Kippur is. You have to follow Yom Kippur. What are you talking about? You know when Yom Kippur is. Levi knew when Yom Kippur is. We're not talking about what he did. We're talking about what he's telling the people above him.
No, but if I travel east of Yerushalayim 15 days before Yom Kippur, when is Yom Kippur for me? Is it when it's Yom Kippur in Israel or when it's Yom Kippur locally?
When it's Yom Kippur locally, of course. You have to go according to the local time zone. Then you get into the question of the date line, which is what we were just talking about a few minutes ago. Okay.
Before crossing the date line.
What?
If you cross the date line,
crossing. If you cross any of the points that might be the date line of the halacha, then you start getting into doubts. Then you have to ask the Rav. Again, according to the Chazon Ish, that point would be just off the coast of China, meaning that if you're traveling to Japan, then you would have a, then it would be a different day. According to some other poskim, only if you travel further east to all the way to Alaska. And then again, you have a dozen or more different opinions on the subject.
So there's no halacha that's been set up.
There is a halacha. You have to ask the Rav what you should follow, the halacha, like any other thing where you have different opinions. All right, let's go on. Machris Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan made the following announcement. Kol hecha de matur shluchin nissen v'le matur shluchin tishrei. There can be places where the shluchim doing nissen are able to reach there before Pesach, but the shluchim doing tishrei are not. Because during nissen, they can travel every day except Shabbos. So they have a total of 12 days of travel from when Beis Din announces Mekudosh until Pesach begins. They have 12 days to travel because they have 14 days and two of them are Shabbos. With Tishrei, they're also losing out Rosh Hashanah because they can't travel on it more than a Tchum Shabbos and also Yom Kippur. So they only have 10 days or sometimes even less depending when the Shabbosim come out. So therefore, so you can have places where the Shluchim of Nissan are able to reach in time, but the Shluchim of Tishrei are not. Rabbi Yechanan says, so you would think in that case, so they should be keeping 2 days of 2 days of Sukkot, but they should be keeping only 1 day of Pesach, because by the time Pesach comes, they know which one it is. No, la'evdu tshrei yomi, they should make 2 days of Pesach as well. Gzeira nissen otter tishrei, we make a gzeira because if they come to do it during nissen, they might mistakenly also during tishrei keep only 1 day, and they can't do that because tishrei they don't have the information yet when how long Elul was, and therefore when the Yom Tovim are. In fact, once that halacha is established, then it applies even to Shavuos. So Shavuos, after all, is 50 days after the beginning of Sfiras Omer. By the time Shavuos comes, for sure, we know when Rosh Chodesh Nissan was and when Pesach was. So there's no question that there's no question. Nevertheless, we still have to keep 2 days Shavuos because of this idea that the Chachamim made a gzera that if you're going to keep some of them 2 days and some of them one, you're going to get careless and keep all of them as one, and some of them you're not allowed to. Some of them you have to keep. Some of them you have to keep one. Mitzad Adin, because you don't know. Some of them you have to keep two. I mean, Mitzad Adin, because you don't know yet when Rosh Chodesh was, namely the ones during Tishrei. And now, even that we have a fixed calendar, we have to do, as we learned in Beitza, Minig Abisein Biyadenu, we have to continue following the Minig of our ancestors, namely, therefore, that we have to have 2 days.
Remember, so, Eric's, I mean, one even Derabanan, how are they okay of things that they're in their rights on the second day?
Because even though it's Derabanan, nevertheless, they can still tell us. They can tell us a Shev Al Tasa, for example, don't put on tefillin. That's a passive thing. They're able to do that. Okay. So the Gemara, in fact, tells Rab Ivu bar Nagri Rab Chia bar Abba Iklu Lahu Astra. Rab Ivu bar Nagri and Rab Chia bar Abba one time visited a certain place to have a Motis Shluchim Nissen and a Motis Shluchim Tishrei, where they had that exact situation. The Shluchim of Nissen were regularly able to reach them because again they had 12 days to travel, but the Shluchim of Tishrei did not. So in other words, this place was between 10 and 12 days travel away from wherever the Beis Din was at the time. The Avdi Chad Yoma, the people over there made 1 day of Pesach, 1 day at the beginning and 1 day at the end of Pesach. And Rab Ivu and Rab Chia bar Abba didn't tell them anything to the contrary. Shama Rab Yechanan, Rab Yechanan heard about that, the Ikbad, and he was upset at them. Amalahu, he says to them, Lav Amri Lahu, didn't I tell you? Hecha the Matur Shluchin Nisan, Vele Matur Shluchin Tishrei, La'ev the Tre Yomi, they have to make 2 days of all the Yom Tovim, Gzeira Nisan Otto Tishrei. So you should have informed them of that point rather than allowing them to continue with their mistake in Minhag of 1 day Pesach. Now, how does this apply to Yom Kippur? So before we had Levi telling them that it's Yom Kippur in Eretz Yisrael, and again, according to at least some opinions, if he had told them actual official eders, they would have been required to follow that. So the Gemara continues, Rava have a rogel that have a yosim tanis a tre yomi. Rava used to regularly fast 2 days Yom Kippur to be on the safe side. In his times, there was still Makadosh al Pi'orita. So therefore, he would do on the safe side the 39th and the 40th of Elul, meaning, in other words, what we think of as the 10th and the 11th of Tishrei.
How can you take 2 days of Yom Kippur when you're supposed to eat very well Erev Yom Kippur? How is
so
that
he would
possible?
He would eat on what we call Tes Tishrei, and then he would fast on both Yud and Yud Aleph to be on the safe side. And in fact, the Gemara says, Zimna Chode Ishtakach Kavosei. One time it actually turned out like he thought. One time they did in fact fact make a 30-day Elul, and therefore it turned out that he was right in doing the second day, because it turned out that that year Yom Kippur was in fact on the 40th day from the beginning of Elul. Now, nonetheless, though, the halacha is we're not required to do that, because the fact is that we know, especially nowadays, that we have a fixed calendar, we know that Elul is always 29 days, and we can't even say minhag v'sheni yadenu, because the general minhag was not to do that. We see it was a special chumrah of Ravas. It wasn't the general minhag, because the Chachamim didn't require it, because it would be dangerous to fast for 2 days straight. In Shulchan Aruch, it mentions there are some Bale Nefesh who do that, like Rava did over here, and they fast for 2 days. And it talks about in Shulchan Aruch what exactly they're allowed and not allowed to do. They're not allowed, for example, in the tour mentions, and it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, for example, are they allowed to daven Yom Kippur? The answer is, the tour brings from his father, the Rosh, absolutely not. The Takana of the Chachamim is only to daven the Tefillos of Yom Kippur on Yom Kippur. This you're keeping as a personal Chumra, as if it was Yom Kippur. Very nice, but the Chachamim did not make that Takana. You have to daven weekday Shemoneh Esrei. You want to after Shemoneh Esrei. You want to say whatever Yom Kippur, Yotim you want. You want to say, Nesan HaTzvokif or whatever, Gizom Tehei, Yotim you can say whatever you want, but outside of Shemoneh Esrei. They would also have to put on tefillin. There's also details over there about what happens if Yom Kippur is Thursday and then their second day of Yom Kippur is Friday, what they're not allowed to prepare on that day for Shabbos, so they have to get invited out, et cetera, et cetera. There are various details about that. So the Gemara tells further about this. Rab Nachman Yosef Tanisa Kula Yom Kippur. One time Rab Nachman fasted the entire Yom Kippur. La'urta, that evening when Rab Nachman was getting ready to break his fast, Osahu Gabra, a person came to him, Omalei, and he tells him, L'macho, Yom Rabba, Ma Rabba. Tomorrow is Yom Kippur in Eretz Yisrael, because again, that was a time when they made a 30-day, Elul. So Rav Nachman was not happy with that, because now he has to fast a whole nother day. Omalei Mehecha'at, so he asks, where are you from? Omalei Midamharia. The guy says, I'm from a place called Damharia, a city in Babel. Omalei, so Rav Nachman says, that's a very appropriate name. Dam Hauya can be like an acronym, Dam Tehei Acharisai, his end, meaning my end, Rav Nachman, is going to be blood. In other words, I'm going to end up passing away from this. How am I going to be able to fast two days in a row? Which are the Kori Alei, and in fact, Rav Nachman applied to this situation, the pasuk, Kalim Hoyuroid Fenu, our pursuers were very fast. In other words, Rav Nachman is saying, in effect, it's too bad the guy showed up just before the end of Yom Kippur. If he had showed up a little bit later, I would have already broken my fast. And then at least I wouldn't be, even if I said that, even if I thought that, even if I had to, Api Alacha, keep the day as Yom Kippur, at least I would have been able to eat something in between. Or vice versa. Some of the Mefarshim say, what he means is also, if the guy had shown up a little earlier, then he would have said, okay, well, today is not Yom Kippur, La Alacha, because now it's Yisrael, Yom Kippur is tomorrow. Good, so I'll grab the opportunity to eat something before the fast. But like this, instead he got stuck and he ended up fasting. He ended up having to fast 2 days in a row.
He came during the day.
He came in the evening. He came like shortly before Yom Kippur was over. Shortly before Yom Kippur, Bava was over. In fact, it says about the Riva, one of the Balei HaTosfos, that he was machmir on himself to fast 2 days Yom Kippur, and then he passed away because it weakened him too much. Yeah. Okay. More on the topic of Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibar HaShana. Some more rules about that. Shalach Le Rav Huna Bar Oven L'Rav. Rav Huna Bar Oven sent a message to Rava telling him, when you're trying to calculate in Chutz Laaretz when the various Yom Tovim are, and you don't know, again, you know, you have based in Eretz Yisrael is sometimes going to make a leap year, but not always does the news come to you in time. What's one way to know whether it was a leap year and therefore to know that Pesach is going to be a month later? Kad Chozis, when you see the Moshcha Tkufas Tevis at Shitza B'Nissan, that Tkufas Tevis, the winter season, extends until the 16th of Nissan, meaning the Tkufa, the actual equinox, would be on the 16th or later. So then Abra Lahichata, know that year is an Ibru year, don't be concerned about that. That's only an opinion of Acherim in the Gemara and Sanhedrin, and maybe the Halacha is like that. Rav Huna Bar Oven is telling you should know the Halacha is like that. Because the pasuk says Shomer Eschodesh Aviv, guard the month of Aviv. That means Shomer Aviv Shal Tkofa Sheyehei B'Chodesh Nissan. Guard that the Aviv, that the spring of the Tkofa, should take place during Chodesh Nissan. Now, in other words, the idea is that so Rashi explains if it's going to be on the, if it was going to be on the 15th, then that wouldn't be so bad. All you need to do, all Basin would need to do, they wouldn't need to add another month that year. They could make Adar that year 30 days. And then automatically, then the Tekufa gets moved one day earlier. So then the Tekufa, which would have been on the 15th, is instead on the 14th. And fine, that's Erev Pesach. And therefore, you're still good. But if it was to come out on the 16th or later, then even adding an extra day to Adar wouldn't help. It would still be the 15th or later. And therefore, you have no choice but to have a leap. Tosfos discusses this a little bit and says maybe it's not so simple. When we say over here the 16th, maybe it means that even if by adding an extra day to Adar it comes out on the 16th, that only then do you make a leap year. But if by adding an extra day to Adar it comes out on the 15th, Tosfos learns that maybe that wouldn't be such a problem. Now we do have in our calendar, so we have like this, we have two different calculations of the Tekufa that we use in our calendar. We have one called Tekufas Shmuel, which makes the year to be 365 days and 6 hours. Nowadays, the Tekufa of Shmuel very often falls long after Pesach. One thing is, we have one thing that's tied to Shmuel's Tekufa, is Birkas HaChama, and Birkas HaChama every so often, it's only every 28 years, but sometimes it comes out after Pesach even. The last one that we had 12 years ago was Erev Pesach. The one before that was Urbi and Nissen. But the one before that, for example, in Tafshin Yud Gimel in 1953 was on Yisrochag. So in fact, the Rebbe talked to Sicha about that then and said that we could say that according to that Shmuel, that at least it's not so bad because at least Shmuel's Tekufa always nowadays comes out in Nissen. It gradually over time it shifts relative to the year because it's really too long. His calculation is about 11 minutes longer than the real solar year. So over hundreds and thousands of years it shifts. But until well after the year 6000, it's still going to be always in Nisan. So therefore, that's good enough. By that time, Mashiach will come, the Sanhedrin will be reestablished, and then they'll be able to fix up things accordingly. So that's one. The other calculation of the Tekufa that we use is called Tekufa Sir of Adar. Now, that one is not explicitly mentioned anywhere in the Gemara, but nevertheless, our Gemara fits with that in the sense that we always have Tekufas Reb Adar never comes out later than the 16th of Nisan. In rare cases, it can happen on the 16th of Nisan. Usually, it's before that, but we never have it coming after the 16th of Nisan. And our calendar is built on that basis. Nowadays, Reb Adar's Tekufa also gradually shifts over time. Because again, it's a few minutes, it calculates the year as being about four and a half minutes shorter than Shmuel, but that's still about 6.5 minutes too long. So it also gradually shifts over time, but nevertheless, we still have. So nowadays, Reb Adar's Tekufa comes out on March 27th or 28th. And in fact, the earliest that Pesach ever begins nowadays is March 26th. So it fits. Okay. More on this topic of Kiddush HaChodesh. Amalahu Rav Nachman, also when you don't know the dates, how do you calculate? Amalahu Rav Nachman Lahanu Nechuse Yama. Rav Nachman said to people who were sailing in boats on the sea, and they don't know when Beis Din declared anything. So he tells them, Atun Deloyat Itur Kviya Diyarcha, you who don't know when Beis Din with Makadosh HaChodesh, and Bechlau, you don't know enough of the astronomy to be able to calculate it yourselves. When you see that the moon is in the sky throughout the entire day during the month of Nisan, you should know that's the day to burn your chametz. Because, in other words, like we were talking about before, at the beginning of the month, the sun and the moon are in tandem. The next day, the moon is about 50 minutes behind the sun. The next day, 50 minutes behind that, etc. Eventually, you get to the middle of the month, and the moon rises when the sun is setting and sets when the sun is rising. So Rav Nachman is telling them, when you see that the moon is in the sky, the entire night, the mashlim l'yoma, meaning as soon as the sun is rising, the moon is setting, then you know that's the 14th of the month, and therefore that's the day during this, and that would be the day of Bir Chametz. So the Gemara says, Amos mashlim, yeah, but when does that happen, that the moon sets as the sun is rising, but Chamesa is only on the 15th. So what good does that do us? We have to get rid of chametz on the 14th. So that's not a valid simon for them. The answer is, for them who are on the water and they have a clear horizon, everything is revealed to them. In other words, they can see the complete circle of the horizon. Then therefore already for them, they can see the sun, the moon setting and the sun rising at the same time already on the 14th of Nisan. Unlike us, where we have buildings and trees and whatever on the horizon, so therefore we only see that happening the next day. Okay, there's an explanation, also an astronomical explanation, that has to do with the fact, again, we said before, that it takes time from the Molad until the moon is visible. So that usually the Molad is about a day or so before the actual Rosh Chodesh, and therefore, practically speaking, if you have, so when the moon reaches that point in its cycle, it's 15 days since the Molad, but it's only 14 days since Rosh Chodesh, and therefore that's fine, then they can get rid of their chametz. Okay. Mishnah says on Omid Beis, Al Shnei Chadoshim B'chal L'Nes HaShabbos. There are 2 months for which the Edim can come to be, and can be Mechal or Shabbos, to come to Beis Din and give Edus. Most of the Mephoshim say it means they can even be Mechal from Shabbos with things that are Raisa, although the Pnei Yeshua discusses that maybe only with things that are Bonam, like going outside the Tchum. Anyway, they are Al Nisan V'Al Tishrei, for when they see the moon at the beginning of Nisan and Tishrei. What's so important about those months? Shabahem Shluchin Yotzin L'Surya. Those are the months in which the Beis Din would send out official Shluchim to Surya, which is Syria and the areas northeast of that, to inform people when Rosh Chodesh is, because people have to know, to be able to know when to celebrate Pesach and the various Tishrei Yom Tovim. Uvahen Masakmin Asamoides. Those are the months in which the Yom Tovim are established based on Rosh Chodesh of those months. So therefore, those are important enough for the Edim to be Mechal Shabbos to come to Beis Din for that. As opposed to the other months, Rashi says, since the other months, the Yom Tovim, don't depend on them anyway, so therefore they're not really important enough for the Chachamim to allow the Edim to come and be Mechal Shabbos for them. On the other hand, when the Beis Mikdash was standing, then the Edom could be Mechal Shabbos to come for anyone in order to fix up that the Korban of Rosh Chodesh should be brought at the right time. Tosfos points out, after all, Rosh Chodesh is also called a Moed. So if we're learning from B'moyadom, then that means that Rosh Chodesh, also all the Rosh Chodeshim, are included in Moyadom, and therefore that's a valid reason to be Mechal Shabbos for them as well. As we're going to learn in the Gemara, after the Korban, then they changed that because then there's no Korban anyway. But they left Nisan and Tishrei as it is. There's other explanations. One of them being that Shabahen Shluchim Yotzim L'Surya or Behen Masakmin Asamoides are not reasons why to be Mechal Shabbos. While we're mentioning Nisan and Tishrei, we're mentioning other advantages of those months as well. Okay, so the Gemara asks Al Beis Chadosh and Betuloi. So you're telling me that they only are Mechal Shabbos for those 2 months? You're telling me that the Shluchim go out to Surya only for those 2 months, or a minu, but the previous Mishnah says, Al Vov Chadoshim HaShluchim Yotzin. We said the Shluchim go out to tell everybody when Rosh Chodesh is for 6 months of the year. We had Nisan and Av and Elul and Tishrei and so forth. Why are we saying over here Nisan and Tishrei only? Amar Abaya Hachikama. Abaya says, right, what the Mishnah means is, Al Kulan Shluchim Yotzin Mimba'er. With all the other months, the Shluchim could go out the evening before. Meaning there could be 2 possibilities, Rashi says. One possibility is that the moon was very clearly visible before Shkia or after Shkia of the 29th. There's no question based in is going to be Mekadosh L'Chodesh the next day, unless there's some kind of an emergency, which rarely happens. So we can assume then strongly that Rosh Chodesh will be the 30th. Or the other possibility, like we said before, is the other way around. Let's say the moon was not visible on the night after the 29th. So therefore, of necessity, it's a 30-day month. It can never be longer than 30 days. Either way, then, once the Shluchim know that that's the case, then they can settle. And therefore, they gain some time. Al Nisan v'al Tishrei ad Sheyishuv peves Mekudesh. But when it comes to Nisan and Tishrei, they have to wait until they hear the word Mekudesh from Beis Din. So therefore, Rashi says, therefore, like this. What happens then is we want to allow the Edim. Now we're going to say soon that Minat Torah, the Edim can be Mechal Shabbos for any month. The Chachamim limited it to Nisan and Tishrei because of this point. What happens is, in other words, if the Edim don't come and it ends up being a 30-day month, and if we were to make the Shluchim wait until the next day, until the daytime of the 30th, till the morning of the 31st, when Beis Din can declare Mekudesh, they're losing a lot of time that they can't travel. As it is, there's not enough time for them to travel to all different places where Jews live and inform them in time, which is why we said some places have to keep 2 days Yom Tov. So at least we want to save as much time as possible. So therefore, what we'd rather do then is if there's a possibility of Edim coming and being able to say that they saw the moon on the night after the 29th, and therefore that Rosh Chodesh should be the 30th, we would rather do that, even at the cost of them being Mechal Shabbos, so that way at least the Shluchim can leave sooner. That way already the morning of the 30th, based in can be Mekadosh the Chodesh, or in rare cases, even on the evening, on the late afternoon of the 29th, right before Shkia. And then the Shluchim gain a considerable amount of time that they're not delayed. So therefore, we're going to allow. So therefore, again, given that Minat Torah, the Edim can be Mechalo Shabbos for any month, the Chachamim left it that way for Nisan and Tishrei in order to give more time for the Shluchim to be able to travel. Tanya Nami Hochi, we learned similarly in Braisa.
How many times a year does the new moon fall Erev Shabbos?
Not many, but when it does, if it's Nisan or Tishrei, then they can be Mechal Shabbos to come to Beis Din. Whatever it is,
but usually
it's going to happen.
At most, how many times?
At most, two or three. Okay. So okay, Tosfos learns that that's not necessarily a reason. It's there's two separate statements over here that the shluchim usually go out in the evening. Nisan and Tishrei is a separate thing. They have to hear Mekodesh. But the idea would be, again, like our Mishnah said, since Nisan and Tishrei, the Yom Tovim depend on them, then therefore the Chachamim want to be Mekadesh al pi ra'iya, and therefore they're going to leave the rule Minat Torah in place that the Edom can be Mechal Shabbos for those days. So Tani Nami Hochi, we learn similarly in Braisa, our Kulan Yotzin Mim Erev, for all the other months, the Shluchim can leave the evening before, once they know for sure that the next day is going to be Rosh Chodesh, Al Nisan Val Tishrei, Al Chishim Mim Beis Mekodesh, but when it comes to Nisan and Tishrei, they actually have to hear the word Mekodesh before they can leave. Okay. Now, Tana and Ranan, we learn in a Braisa, how do we know that the Edom can be Mechal Shabbos to come to Beis Din to testify that they saw the moon on these months? Talmud Lomar, therefore, the pasuk says, Ela Moyadei Hashem, Asher Tikru Osam Moyadam. These are the appointed times of Hashem, which you should call them in their appointed times, which means, in other words, make sure that the appointed time doesn't pass. Make sure, no matter what it takes, that you're going to get to Beis Din in time. And if that means being Mechal Shabbos, then that's what you do. So Yochol, you would think Kashem Shemachalan Achi Skadju, Kach Machalan Achi Skaimu. You would think maybe by the same token, the Shluchim, who are going to all the different places to inform them when Rosh Chodesh is, they should also be able to be Mechal Shabbos so that people will be able to keep the Yom Tovim in time. Maybe that they have that dispensation also. No, Tamad by Masha Tikru Oysam. Therefore, the Pasuk says that you should call them, implying Al Kriyasim At Machalal, Viat Machalal Kiyuma. You can only be Mechal Shabbos for Beis Din to call and declare when Rosh Chodesh is, but not you cannot be Mechal Shabbos to enable people to be Mekayim, to be able to keep the Yom Tovim in time. So in other words, that's what we said, that the Shluchim cannot travel on Shabbos or on Yom Tov. But on the other hand, the Edim become the Beis Din, they can be Mechal Shabbos if necessary. We said when the Beis Mikdash was standing, they could be Mechal Shabbos for any month to come to Beis Din because the Korban of Rosh Chodesh has to be brought on the correct day. So turn on a button, we learn on a price. But originally, when the Beis Mikdash was standing, the Edom could be Mechal Shabbos to come for any of the months. Mishachor Beis Mikdash, after the Beis Mikdash was destroyed, Amar lahen Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, v'chi yesh korban. Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai says, look, the whole reason to be Mechal Shabbos for any other Rosh Chodesh, given that the Yom Tovim don't depend on it, is only for the sake of the korban, that it should be brought in the right time. Now there's no korbanus. Hiskinu, therefore, they made a takana, shelo yu Mechal on Ela on Nisan v'al Tishrei b'avad, that they're only Mechal on Nisan and Tishrei, meaning, in other words, that they left the din of the Torah alone for those 2 months. And they changed it for all the other ones. They said for all the other ones, the Edom should not travel on Shabbos. The Mishnah says, Bein Shenira Ba'alil, Bein Shelenira Ba'alil, whether the moon was clearly visible, we're going to see in the Gemara what the word Ba'alil means, it's clearly, Bein Shelenira Ba'alil, or whether the moon was not so clearly visible, either way, Mechal and all of us are Shabbos, the Edom can be Mechal or Shabbos to come to Beis Din and testify. Rabbi Yossi Yomim, Nira Ba'alil, Ein Mechal and all of the Shabbos. Rabbi Yossi says, no, if it was clearly visible, there cannot be Mechal or Shabbos because there's no need to. The same way as people far away from Yerushalayim saw, very likely the people in Yerushalayim themselves saw, maybe even the Beis Din themselves saw. And what do you need to come to be Mechal or Shabbos when they had probably people who were closer and can come without being Mechal or Shabbos? So the Gemara tells, Maisa Sha'ovri Yosema Boimzug. It happened once that more than 40 pairs of Edim were traveling through on their way to wherever the Beis Din was sitting at the time to give Edus HaChodesh. The Ikvam, Rabbi Akiva, Belud, Rabbi Akiva held them back in Lud because he held it wasn't necessary. So there's a few possibilities. One of them is maybe Rabbi Akiva held that once the first pair went through, fine, Beis Din will interrogate them. There'll be Makadosh HaChodesh based on them. They don't need all the rest of the pairs, so therefore there's no sense in them going. Another possibility is Rabbi Akiva held like Rabbi Yossi. It was a case of Nira Ba'alil. It was obviously seen so clearly that 80 different people saw it. So therefore, again, he figured there's no reason for anybody to be Mechal Shabbos to go. Shalach lo Rabbi Gamliel, but Rabbi Gamliel sent Rabbi Akiva a message. He said, don't do that. Im Ma'akiv Ata Asarabim, if you hold back the rabbin from doing this mitzvah, you're going to end up making them stumble in the future, meaning in the future, when the moon is not so clearly visible, they're going to say, why should I bother? Last time Rabbi Akiva didn't allow us to go, so therefore now we're not going to bother, and you could end up that the chodesh is not going to be established at the right time. So the Gemara says, "My mashma dahai alil lishna de miglihu." Where do we see that the word alil means clearly? The words of Hashem are pure words, kesef tzorof ba'alil la'aretz, like refined silver, close to the ground, meaning revealed and clearly visible to everybody. Mezuka k'shavasayim, refined sevenfold. So we see, in other words, the word ba'alil means clearly visible. The beauty and the greatness of the Torah is clearly visible to everybody on earth.
Did
so
Rabbi Akiva follow
the
advice? Did Rabbi Akiva follow the advice?
The pashtos, yeah, but we're going to learn about that it may not have been Rabbi Akiva at all, but rather somebody else. We'll get to that in the Gemara. But anyway, since we're talking about this, about the purity and beauty of the Torah, Rav Shmuel, so Rav and Shmuel argue about a certain detail of that. Chad Omer, one of them says, Nun Shari Bina Nivru Ba'olam, there were 50 gates of understanding that were created in the world. These are the famous Chamishim Shari Bina that we talk about. V'cholam nitnu l'Moshe chosur echad. All of them were given to Moshe minus one. In other words, Moshe was able to achieve, was able to achieve 49 of them. So the connection is like this, Rashi says. We described the Torah as Mezukach Shivasayim, refined sevenfold. The word shivasayim can actually mean seven times seven. Seven times seven is 49. So we see that Moshe was granted 49 of those shari bin. Why 49 and not 50? Shenema v'tchasreu ma'at me'alekim, because the posit says, you made man slightly less than Hashem. So Moshe couldn't achieve all 50 because of the 50 it was reserved only for Hashem. So therefore he could achieve only 49. In Chassidus, actually, it talks about the idea. First of all, Marsha says this capital where you have that pasuk that Chasrei Ma'at Me'alekim is in capital Ches, which the Gemara tells us elsewhere in Masechet Shabbos is the whole dialogue between the Malachim and Hashem about the Torah, should the Torah be given to Moshe Rabbeinu and to the Jewish people. The Malachim are arguing Asher Tznohod Chal Shemayim, it should stay up in Shemayim, and in the end they have to concede that it should be given to Earth, and they say Mo'adir Shimcha B'chol Ha'aretz. So in that capital you have these words that Chasrei Ma'at Me'alekim. Therefore, the Gemara is doubting about Moshe Rabbeinu who received the Torah. In Chassidus, actually, it talks about that when Moshe passed away, he was granted the 50th. That's why the place where he passed away is called Har Nivoi. Nivoi is Nun Boi, 50 in him, meaning at that point, he actually achieved the 50th one. Anyway, so one opinion says that all of them, minus one were given to him. Now, then in that case, there doesn't seem to be a second opinion over here. So there's a girsa on the side over here from various kisveyad they both agree that the Nun Share Bin, that 49 of the Share Bin were given to Moshe, and then the machlokas is going to be what happened with Shloim. So the Pasuk says, Bikish Kehelas Limtso Divrei Chayfetz, Kehelas, which is the name for Shloimer, wanted to find words of desire, meaning he wanted to achieve as much as possible in the Torah. That means bikish kehelas lias kemoshe. He wanted to be on Moshe Rabbeinu's level and achieve those 49 levels. Yotza baskol ba'amrloi, but a baskol came out and told him, no. That same pasuk in kehelas continues. V'chosav yosher divrei emes. It's written straightly in the Torah, words of truth. Meaning, what does it say in the Torah? V'lekom navi oy b'Yisrael kemoshe. That there never arose a Navi among the Jewish people like Moshe. So therefore, in other words, the Torah itself is telling us that you, Shloimeh, are not going to be able to achieve Moshe's level. So that's one opinion. The other opinion is the chadama. The other opinion is no. The neviim like come, the malachim come. No, all the pasuk is saying is there was never a navi of Moshe's caliber. But among the chachamim, among the kings rather, there could be somebody of Moshe's caliber. So according to that, Shlomo might have been able to achieve all 49 levels like Moshe Rabbeinu did. So what, according to that opinion, does it mean the pasuk that Kohelis wanted to achieve Divrei Chayfetz, which implies that there was something he wanted to achieve and wasn't able to? According to that opinion, it means Bikesh Kohelis Lodun Dinin Shabalev Shabaloi Be'edim V'Shaloi Basra. It means that Kohelis wanted to be able to judge people based on what he understands in his heart without Edim and without Hasra, that just he can, for example, like in the story of the two women over there, where he's able to deduce on his own who's innocent and who's guilty and judge that way. And according to that opinion, Yotza Baskol V'Amraloi, a Baskol came out and said to him, no, V'chos of Yosha Divrei Emes, it says straightly in the Torah, words of truth, namely, it says, that you need two Edim and you need Hasra, so therefore, even as great and as smart as you are, you're not going to be able to override that. So Hiras Shah is a special case. We're talking about he wanted to do it on a regular basis, on an ongoing basis. And a Baskol came and told him that not.
So how could he sing a thing like that?
The story with those women. Okay, so there. I mean, you don't have Edim anyway. You have to determine whether it belongs to one or the other. So he got one of them to confess. So fine, maybe in that case it's not Dini Nefashis. But he wanted, for example, even in the case of Dini Nefashis, let's say, or Dini Mominus or whatever, they should be able to determine. And a Baskel tells him you can't do that. What? What were you saying?
If he was a man of that level of smarts, how come he saw that he could even be smarter than the Torah and cancel a takana of the Torah?
It was not cancel a takana. He thought that maybe that doesn't apply to him. You know what? The same way as he thought that the mitzvah about not having too many wives and too many horses and too much gold and silver doesn't apply to him, and that was a mistake. So there, a Baskel didn't come out and tell him otherwise. You, a Baskel, and told him and came and told him, don't do that with the others. Since they're mitzvahs for him as a king, I guess the idea is he should have realized it on his own. There is actually a very interesting explanation in this connection. Specifically, we know one thing that Moshe knew and Shlomo did not is the reason behind Paradrum. So there's a vote that says on this that's brought from various people that says like this. There's a pasuk in the description of the Paradruma that says they should take Latome Me Afar Srefas Hachatas. The initials of those letters spell out Lamed Mem Shin He, which can be rearranged to spell Shlomo. So Shlomo thought on the basis of that maybe the Torah is implying that he will have the ability to achieve that understanding of Paradruma. And the answer was, because of Yosher Divrei Emes, you have to look at how the words are written in order in the Torah. In order of the words, La Tome Me Afar Srefas Hachatos, it doesn't spell out Shlomo, it spells out Le Moshe, implying that this was a secret giving only to Moshe and not to you. So according to that then, he thought based on his own analysis of the Torah that he should be able to, and the Baskel is telling him that no.
But concerning the Shnei Edim, how can he come and think that it doesn't apply to him? I mean,
again, he thought that maybe the same thing as with the wives and whatever. The fact is, a king does have the ability to judge. A king does have the ability to judge to a certain extent, like Hirashtra, like you say, to judge people without the normal rules of evidence. He thought that he could do that, not only in his role as a king, but also in his role as a member of the Sanhedrin, as a dai. And he's being told that no, as a king, he has that ability under certain circumstances where it's necessary, where, for example, the Bat Dinim can't deal with a case, but he can't do it in his role as a dayan, in his role as a decisor of halacha.
In other words, it's not his prerogative.
It's not his prerogative. I guess we may as well finish the four lines at the top of Chav Beis Amud Beis, since they have to do with our mission as well. We said that 80 Edim, 40 pairs of Edim passed through, and Rabbi Akiva stopped them and loaded them. Gamliel told them not to do that. So Tanya, we're learning a brisa. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Chas v'Shalom shel Rabbi Akiva Ikron. Chas v'Shalom, to say that Rabbi Akiva held them back, he would have known better than that. Ela Shezfer Rosh Hashol Geder Ikron. Rather, it wasn't Rabbi Akiva, it was Shezfer, that was his name, the mayor of the city of Geder, who held them back because he thought it wasn't necessary for them to go. The Shalach Ram Gamliel, who to do him with the Lasse, so Ram Gamliel sent a message and they fired him and they deposed him from the position. So in other words, according to that, the reason why we're mentioning Rabbi Akiva would be Rabbi Akiva was in that area and he knew what Shezfer was doing and he didn't protest. So Rav Gamliel had to take the initiative, but not Rabbi Akiva himself is the one that stopped him, says Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Nachmanano brings in this connection that a person who holds back people from doing a mitzvah deserves nidui. So therefore, in the Yerushalmi, that's Rabbi Yehuda, Nachtam, it is actually in the Yerushalmi, says, Chas v'shalom, to say that Rabbi Akiva would have done something that makes him chayiv nidui, it would have been this Rosh Hashem Geder, this mayor of Geder that we're saying over here who did that, and Rabbi Akiva put him in nidui and fired him from his position for doing that.
Shkayach.
Okay, everyone.